Well, that's a pretty good picture of life as a sheep, isn't it? Find ourselves in a jam. Our shepherd gets us out of the jam or leads us through the jam, and it seems like we find ourselves right back in a ditch or a valley or whatever the case may be. Now, you can go a lot of different ways with that. Sometimes we do get ourselves into that mess. Sometimes we find ourselves in a mess and we didn't choose to be in that mess. We didn't do anything to cause that mess, but suddenly we're in trouble. Now, this is going to sound a little strange, but if that sheep were wearing an Apple Watch, this message probably would have popped up. It looks like you've taken a hard fall. That has a feature on the Apple Watch. Hopefully you've never activated that feature, but if you were to take a hard fall, that message would pop up, and you've got the options. You can choose to call emergency 911. If you don't respond within a certain amount of time, it will dial 911 for you. Or you see right under emergency SOS, what does that button say? You can hit the I'm okay button. If you take a hard fall, you can hit, if you are in fact okay, you can hit the I'm okay button. Serious question. Can you hit the I'm okay button this morning? What's going on in your life? Are you in a valley? Have you taken a hard fall in life? You didn't cause it. You don't know how you got there, but you know you're in a tough spot. And you don't honestly think you could honestly hit the I'm okay button this morning. Maybe that's where you're at. You're in this valley. That's the word that we have for those times in life where things are just not okay. It's valleys. It's called valleys. Psalm 23:4 identifies them for us as valleys. But we know this truth in life. Life is not skipping from mountaintop to mountaintop, or in the case of the sheep, from one side of the ditch to the other. Sometimes we fall in, right? Life is not skipping from mountaintop to mountaintop. There are valleys in life. So as Christians, as followers of Jesus, what do we do in those valleys? Because they will come. What do we do in the midst of those valleys? One thing that I can tell you for sure, I can't tell you exactly why you're in that valley. I can't tell you exactly what God wants to show you in that valley. But one thing I can tell you for sure is that God loves you in the valley, on the mountaintop and in the valley. God loves you, and his desire is to care for you in and through that valley that you're in. Through our shepherd, the valleys are hard, but we can know victory in the valley. Today is part 5 of our series called The Good Shepherd, where we are walking word by word through the 23rd Psalm. Today's sermon is titled The Shepherd of the Valley. And in the 23rd Psalm, we know there's a danger, right? If you'll remember, we're familiar with this passage. And the danger is that we don't take it seriously, or we just kind of skim through it. So our challenge all along is that we approach this passage of Scripture like it's the first time we've ever seen it, like we've never read it or studied it before. We want to approach it from a fresh perspective. David wrote this psalm. He's an older man when he wrote it. David was not perfect. He made his share of mistakes, but we know that he loved God. He was a man after God's own heart. And one thing also that we know about David is that he knew what it was like to be in the valley. He had been in valleys in his life. He had experienced great victories, and he had experienced a lot of heartbreak, a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, confusion, rejection, disappointment in his life, discouragement. So he gets it. He understands what it's like to be in the valley. But David used to be a shepherd, and in the 23rd Psalm, as a shepherd, David spent countless hours caring for sheep. But now in the 23rd Psalm, David is writing this from the perspective of a sheep. David is a sheep looking at how his Lord, the shepherd, cares for him. He's saying, listen, I know what it's like to be a shepherd, and I know what it's like to be a sheep. Let me tell you how my shepherd, the Lord, has and is going to care for me. The 23rd Psalm is a fresh, needed word for our modern world. And what David is saying in this, the reason I'm sharing this with you is because I've experienced a lot in my life, and I can tell you that nothing compares to the Psalm 23 life. Remember, the foundation of the 23rd Psalm flows from those first five words. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord, the God, the Creator, all-powerful, no error, no equal, God of the universe, is my shepherd. Not a God that I've created in my head. David is saying, no, this is about a personal relationship. So the God of the universe is also my personal shepherd to lead me and guide me. Is not he was my shepherd, not he will be my shepherd. He is my shepherd. Day by day by day, he leads me as my shepherd. That's the foundation for our study in the 23rd Psalm. And also understanding, as Jesus said in John 10:11, he said, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is the shepherd of the 23rd Psalm. And those of us, Jesus came, he lived a sinless life, he died on the cross for our sins, he was raised from the dead, and just as you saw Cam put his faith in Jesus and testified to that this morning, Cam is now a part of the forever flock. We who are followers of Jesus are a part of his flock. He is our shepherd. He is our good shepherd. The Lord, the Creator, also is our personal shepherd. And as his sheep, we need our shepherd. We cannot make it through life alone. We are sheep without their shepherd, are helpless, hopeless, and easily destroyed, and that is us. We desperately need our shepherd to guide us, guard us, provide for us, protect us through this life. And Jesus has promised to be our shepherd and to do those things to guide us through this life and to provide for everything that we need to accomplish his will for our highest good and for his eternal glory all the way to heaven. Now, the rest of the 23rd Psalm, verse 2 all the way through verse 6, David is saying, let me tell you the blessings and the benefits when you belong to the shepherd. This is the 23rd Psalm. This is the Psalm 23 life, David is saying. And I want you to know that it's the best life you can experience as a human. And I want to tell you what it's all about. When you are saved, a saved sheep following the good shepherd. So now we're in verse 4 of this 23rd Psalm, which is talking about the shepherd in the valleys of life. So let's just read it together. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, David says, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Now, in just a moment, we're going to look at three lessons for living as we go through the valleys of life, following the shepherd through the valleys of life. But we need to do something before we enter into the valley this morning, okay? Before we get into those lessons, it's so easy to skip over what I'm about to say as we enter into the valleys of life. We need to look at that word even. That word even. It's easy to skip over that word. It's huge in understanding, walking through, following the shepherd through the valleys of life. I mean, who wants a valley anyway, right? None of us want to be in the valley. We want the lush green pastures, the quiet waters, peace and tranquility, all of those things. Nobody wants the valley of life. But that word even is where we need to focus. We don't need to separate the truth of what has already been said in verses 1 through 3 from what is about to be said in verse 4, because that's the danger for us. We get into the valleys of life and we just want to forget everything that David has already told us about our shepherd. We need to bring that truth alongside us and carry it with us as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Again, the danger is still waters, green pastures. He restores my soul. Then boom, we find ourselves in the valley, and the tendency is to forget all of those things. The word even is saying, whether we are in green pastures, quiet waters, or we find ourselves in the deepest, darkest valley, the shepherd's truth never changes, regardless of where we find ourselves. It's the same. So what is that truth in verses 1 through 3 that we cannot forget? Well, verse 1, I shall not want. We can't forget that whether we're in green pastures, quiet waters, or deep, dark valleys, Jesus has promised to provide us with everything that we need to accomplish His will for our highest good and His eternal glory. He'll give us everything that we need to follow Him. Verses 2 through 3, the first part of verse 3, we learn He's going to make me lie down in green pastures. He will lead me beside quiet waters. He does restore my soul. We learn that Jesus is my peace, and He gives me supernatural power in all of life to face these deep, dark valleys. Can't leave that behind. We need to remember He'll give us the strength that we need to face and to get through those valleys, and He'll give us peace in the midst of those deep, dark valleys. What truth did we learn at the end of verse 3? He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. What we learn there is the meaning of life. That the meaning of life is to follow our shepherd in paths of righteousness, to live for His glory and for the sake of His name. That's our purpose in life, is to advance the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the glory of God and for the sake of His name. So in all of this that we have learned, we can't enter into the valley and leave that behind like a backpack or something that we forget to take on the hike. We need those supplies. We need that truth, especially as we enter the deep, dark valleys of life. You know, Mandy and I didn't realize this until I was listening to a pastor friend of mine teach on this. We've been to Branson, Missouri a few times for conferences. Some of you may have been to Branson. Similar to Gatlinburg, not quite as large of a scale as Gatlinburg, I don't think, but very similar. But I didn't know that up until like the 1950s, I mean, Branson was just a little town that nobody knew anything about. It wasn't until around 1950s, 1960s to where it truly became a tourist spot. Now, 7.2 million people visit there every year. The whole tourist attraction to the Ozark Mountains, Branson specifically, it took off at that time, but it really started in 1907 with a book written by a guy named Harold Bill Wright called The Shepherd of the Hills. And I heard that, and this truth, and this is the truth. Jesus is the shepherd of the hills, those mountaintops, right? He's the shepherd on the hills, but He's also the shepherd of the valleys, and we can't forget that. Our shepherd and His truth never changes. That's what that word even tells us, that everything before that verse, we need to carry that with us as we enter in to the valleys. As I prepare to walk through that valley, Jesus and His truth never changes. He's the same God on the mountaintop as He is in the valleys. He's my Savior. He'll meet my needs. He'll be there with me. He will provide for me. He will guide me, guard me, and protect me all through life, all the way to heaven, even in the valley of the shadow of death. He is my shepherd. And I can't tell you how common it is for us as believers to just forget that when we find ourselves in the middle of a deep, dark valley in life. So now with that in mind, let's talk about three lessons for living about the shepherd of the valley. The first is this. We all know the reality of walking through life's valleys. If you haven't, you will. For all of us who are followers of Jesus, we experience walking through the valleys of life. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that phrase, the valley of the shadow of death, it's not just poetic language. Did you know that there are many real valleys of shadows of death in Israel? This isn't just poetic language. I've got a picture of one that David likely led sheep through. This is the Nahal Parat. And if you are a shepherd in David's time and in Jericho, the only way to get your sheep to the high grassy pasture lands was through this valley of shadow of death. They were called that for a reason. A shadow of death valley in Israel would have looked like this: steep walls on the side, very dark most of the day in the middle, because the only time the sun shines is when it's at high noon because of those high canyon walls. It would have been a very dark place. And the sheep, understandably so, were very scared of these valleys, because in these dark valleys, they provide in these shadows is a great place for lions to hide, for example, for predators to hide that could pounce at any moment on these sheep. There could be a flash flood through the valley that would just drown the sheep, wash them away. There were a lot of dangers in these valleys, so sheep did not like these valleys. They didn't like being in these valleys. So that phrase, the valley of the shadow of death, here's what this literally means. A valley of the shadow of death is a dreadful place of deep darkness, danger, and gloom. And for us, what this is a metaphor for is life's darkest and most difficult days. So let me ask a tough question this morning. What's the darkest, most difficult day you've ever experienced in life? Sorry to bring that up, but what's the darkest, most difficult day you've ever experienced? That's the valley of the shadow of death. That's what David is primarily talking about here. I mean, it does refer to physical death. We'll talk more about that in a minute, but it's not limited to physical death. I've seen pain greater than physical death. I've witnessed it. I've watched people walk through divorce, for example. I've seen people lose members of their family that they were very close to. I've seen all kinds, as a pastor, 20 whatever years now, I've seen people walk through a lot of pain, a lot of suffering, pain that death would have brought relief for, honestly. This is the deepest, darkest, hardest, most painful times in our lives. That's what David is talking about here. The darkest, most difficult days. That's the valley of the shadow of death. You see, if sheep were having a meeting and they said, "Hey, where are we going on vacation this year?" I guarantee you none of them would have suggested the valley of the shadow of death. Okay? That's not where they want to be. And honestly, let's be honest here. We are sheep in the Lord's flock. None of us, if we're honest, want to be in those valleys. I mean, good things can come out of those valleys, certainly. But none of us want to be there. It's not a place we choose to be. But it is a place that in this life we cannot avoid. Unfortunately, we will find ourselves in a valley at some point. Those dark, gloom, dread, hard, difficult days of life that we all will experience. And David said in verse 4, "I've walked through the valley." You cannot avoid it. He could not avoid it. A man after God's own heart, he could not avoid it. We cannot avoid it. In John 16:33, Jesus tells us, he says, "I've told you these things so that in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. But be courageous, because I've overcome the world. I've conquered the world." We are going to have valleys, but when we are there and are facing the death of a loved one or whatever it is that we are facing in that deep, dark place, that thing that we dread the most, when we are in the darkest, most difficult days we've ever experienced, it can shake us to the core. And that's understandable. It can absolutely drain us of our joy. We can get so depressed, deeply depressed in that valley. We can be fearful. We can be so consumed with whatever it is that we're facing. We can be confused in the midst of that we are facing. And I've seen it over and over again, not every time, but many times, God's people get mad at him and they turn their back on their shepherd in those hard places. Lord, I chose to follow you. I shouldn't have to face these difficult things. Even though Jesus just told us, you will suffer in this world. You know, when I'm on that green grassy pasture, that quiet waters position in my life, I love Jesus. But when I find myself in the valley, the first thing I want to do is scream, Jesus, where are you at? What are you doing? Why am I here? It's easy to question God. Why are there even valleys in the first place? Well, the answer to that, the reason there are valleys in life is because there was the Garden of Eden. Sometimes we find ourselves in these positions that we don't cause, but the reason there's a death valley is because of what happened in the garden. Adam and Eve, they weren't robots. They made a choice to disobey God. And we are the same as they are. They are the parents of the human race. We are born into sin, but we all by choice choose to go our own way. We choose to sin. And because of that, sin exists in the world. We live in a fallen world, a broken world, and where there is sin, there is death. Where there is sin and brokenness, there are valleys of shadows of death. The reason there are death valleys in this world is because sin and evil exist in this world. You know, it's also important to notice in the valley in Psalm 23 that the sheep have not accidentally strayed or intentionally gone into the valleys themselves. It's very clear that the shepherd led them into this valley. That's hard. You know, when we cause it ourselves, it's still hard, but we can at least point to, hey, I caused that. I mean, this is no fun, but I made this choice. But no, in Psalm 23, the context here is that the Lord is leading them through this valley. Make no mistake, God does not cause evil. He is not evil, but he does allow bad things to happen to his people for various reasons. And so the shepherd is leading them through this valley. There are times when we put ourselves in there. It's our own fault, but there are times where the shepherd leads us. You know, if you want to get to the lush green hills, again, picture that valley that I just showed you. If you want to get to the lush green hills, sometimes you have to walk through the valleys that the shepherd leads us into. The shepherd is intentionally leading the sheep, and he has a purpose for the valleys of life. We can't lose sight of that. We may not know all the reasons in this lifetime, but we can know that he has a purpose in leading us through that valley, whatever that valley is. What is that purpose? Go back again to that word even in verse 4. So all that we just talked about, everything that we've talked about to this point, really. Our loving shepherd in his sovereign power has us on his path, and he's in control of all the circumstances of life, both the mountaintops, quiet waters, and in the valleys of life. But we have to understand in the valleys there is no evil in God. James 1:13, no one undergoing trial should say, I'm being tempted by God, since God is not tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. He allows these tests in our lives, but he never leads us to temptation or evil. He allows it, and there's a reason in it. There's a purpose in the valley. We may never see the purpose in this life, but we can know that there is a purpose. It's hard, it's confusing, it's difficult, it's painful at times, but we can know that he wants to grow us in those valleys. We may not know all the reasons for the valley, but we can know he wants to grow us in that valley. And he has a purpose that is ultimately for our highest good and for his eternal glory in leading us through those valleys. It's always, regardless of what other purposes are involved, reasons he has, We can know it's always to advance the gospel. He wants to use our pain to advance his kingdom, to help us minister to others, to grow us to become more like Jesus. It's always to advance the gospel. And as we saw last week at the end of verse 3, right before you get into the valley of the shadow of death, it's for his name's sake. The truth is, the shepherd knows that we have to go through the dark valleys to get to the lush green highlands. Sometimes we have to go through those valleys to get to where the Lord wants us to be spiritually. That's his path, his plan, his perfect plan. The Bible tells us in Acts 14:22 that it's necessary to pass through many troubles on our way to the kingdom of God. We live in a fallen world, and those troubles grow us and shape us in ways that comfortable times don't. Valleys are not good. None of us want to be there, but our shepherd is good. And when we trust and obey him through the valleys of life, we may never see exactly how he uses those valleys in this life, but when we trust him, he uses what he allows in those valleys in our lives. He'll take the burden when we trust him in those valleys off of us. He'll carry that burden for us, and he will do eternal blessings in our lives for his glory. Dr. David Osborne says it well. He says, too often we try to use God to change our circumstances while he is using our circumstances to change us. God changes us and uses those hard times to grow us more and shape us more into the image of Jesus. We all know the reality of walking through life's valleys. Lesson number two, the shepherd's presence and power gives us courage and comfort in the valley. The shepherd's presence and power gives us courage and comfort in the valley. Look at the last part of verse 4. I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That word evil here is what we've been talking about. I mean, just look at the world around us, right? I mean, chaos, war. Somebody said, I think in connection group this morning, it feels like the whole world's on fire right now, doesn't it? I mean, there's evil everywhere. There's destruction. It'd be really easy to just, you know, give up. There's physical death. The darkest, most difficult days of our lives. Some of you are in those valleys. Some of you may have just come through one of those valleys. All of those things can bring fear. It's understandable, right? That word fear, though, literally means to panic. In other words, you're freaking out. That's what David is saying he is not doing. I will not panic. I will not freak out. I won't lose it in the midst of this deep, dark valley that you have led me into, Lord, my shepherd. I do not fear, he says. Why? Well, the answer's right there. Why is he not afraid? Because the shepherd is with him. It's all about the presence of the shepherd. We don't have to fear as long as we stay with our shepherd in his presence. Jesus said, in Matthew 28:20, I'm always with you, even to the end of the age. He has promised never to leave us, the presence of the shepherd. Hebrews 13:5 tells us our Lord will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. The presence of the shepherd is what gives us courage in the deepest, darkest valleys of life. The power of the shepherd is what gives us comfort in the deepest, darkest valleys of life. He says, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And here's what that means. The rod is a club to guard us, and the staff is a crook to guide us. So when you hear rod, I know we see rod in other places in Scripture related to discipline, for example, but don't picture that here. This is what the shepherd would carry. For example, David talked about having to fight a lion and a bear. And he, if a bear was attacking his sheep, he would grab the bear by the hair and use his club to beat on that animal. It was a weapon that the shepherd would use if something was threatening his sheep. So it's a weapon. It is a club to guard us. God is going to guard us by his power as we walk through all of life, especially these valleys. The staff would have been used to guide the sheep. So basically, a shepherd uses a staff for two reasons: tap and grab. If the sheep started to wander off a little bit, he would take that staff, different from the rod, and tap the sheep to get the sheep's attention, to get the sheep to get back in line with the rest of the flock. Now, if the sheep was stubborn, as you and I sometimes are, and was determined to go his own way, if you remember, a staff has a hook on the end of it. He would take that staff and actually grab that sheep and force it back to where it was with the rest of the flock. You know, sometimes we wander off and we find ourselves in trouble, and the shepherd will get our attention softly so that we will get back in line. And if we refuse to do it then, he will get our attention with more force so that we'll get back in line with his leading and guiding. So he's guarding us and he's guiding us. What he's saying here is that his presence and that, the fact that he will protect us and guide us, that should bring us comfort. David's saying, it comforts me. The fact that I know he's guarding me and guiding me through all of this valley, it comforts me. It literally means to console. We have peace because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians that our God is a God of all comforts. So here are the sheep. They're entering the valley. It's quiet. All you can hear are the sheep's hooves on the ground, walking through. Maybe the bleating of the sheep is echoing through the valleys as they walk. They've been in the valley for a while. It's a scary, dreadful place. But they know two things. One, they know I'm not alone because I know my shepherd is here and he is leading me. He is with me. That gives them courage. They know also, the second thing is they look and say, he's got a rod in one powerful hand to defend me, to protect me, to guard me, and he's got a staff in his other powerful hand to guide me if I get off course. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be afraid. He's going to protect me, and he's going to guide me through this valley. It's not my battle to fight if somebody comes after me. In the name of Jesus, my shepherd will fight those battles. He will protect me. The presence and power of the shepherd gives them comfort and courage. And this is a great place in Psalm 23 to talk about pronouns. That's exactly what you wanted to do when you came to church today, right? Talk about pronouns. But the pronouns in Psalm 23 tell a story. Just follow me for a minute. In verse 1, we see David using first-person pronouns, I and my. I shall not want, my shepherd, first person. It's a personal relationship with Jesus, but first-person pronouns. Verses 1 through 3, he moves to third-person pronouns, thee and he, the Lord. He is my shepherd. He restores my soul. He leads me. In the green pastures, quiet waters, David uses third-person pronouns. He's talking about God indirectly, but notice what happens when we get to verse 4. In verse 4, from the lush green pastures, quiet waters, third-person pronouns, in verses 2 and 3, he enters the dark valley. In verse 4, and he switches from third-person pronouns to second-person pronouns. He no longer says he and thee. He's saying you. He is, in this moment, he goes in the green pastures. He talked about God, but in the valley, he's talking directly to God. That's the shift that takes place. In the green pastures, quiet waters, we can talk about God till we're blue in the face. But when we find ourselves in the valley, that's when we really begin to talk to our shepherd, isn't it? Because we realize how desperately we need our shepherd in those valleys. And that's what David, this isn't a mistake. This isn't just a creative shift in writing for David. No, he's making a point here. That shepherd is with us. He is with us. He is leading us. He is guiding us, guarding us, protecting us. And we in his presence can talk directly to him and know that he hears us. You know, those dark valleys, something they do, don't have all the answers for dark valleys, but if we will let him, something that will happen in those dark valleys is that they draw us closer to our shepherd. He will draw us closer to himself. You know, I've been your pastor for almost 7 years, and I've watched some of you go through really deep, really dark valleys. You know what else I've seen with many of you is that through those valleys, I've watched you grow closer to Jesus. Heard testimony about that this morning in our connection group. I've seen that as a pastor for, again, 20 whatever years. I've watched people go through the hardest things in life. And it amazes me. Some people, yeah, they'll turn their backs on God, but some people, I watch them. I mean, I've stood by gravesides. I've stood by hospital beds. I've stood in rooms when people died and their loved ones were left there hurting. I've watched people go through divorce, and I've watched people go through really difficult things. And I've also seen them grow close to Jesus in a way that's indescribable, because God uses those hard things to draw us to himself in ways that we can't experience outside of that. Nobody wants it. I'm not saying they're good. Nobody likes valleys. Nobody likes pain and suffering, but God uses them. Courage and comfort in life is not the absence of shadows. It's the presence of the shepherd that brings those things. If God would just keep me on some green grass, pasture, quiet waters, then I'd have courage and comfort all of my life. The reality is, no, we wouldn't, because we'd depend on ourselves too much and we'd find ourselves in trouble on our own. It takes those difficult times. God uses them to grow us. Third lesson for living. In the sheep's greatest valley, we see the shepherd's greatest victory. The darkest, most difficult valley that we've walked through is the death of a loved one, right? When we lose somebody that we love, that's the deepest, I'm convinced of that. The deepest, darkest valley we can walk through. And when it comes to the topic of death, some people either avoid it altogether or they're obsessed with it. You know, it's reasonable to discuss it, and you need to talk about it. We need to be aware of it. Death is a reality, but you can go to the extreme. You know, I'm thankful this morning, though, that even on the unpopular topic of death, which it tends to be, I'm thankful for the victory of Jesus Christ over death. 1 Corinthians 15:26, the last enemy to be abolished is death. Death is our enemy. It's the result of sin, something we will all face. But Jesus' death and resurrection destroyed death. So for those of us who are his sheep, we don't have to worry about that enemy death, because Jesus has defeated death. And here's what every believer knows from Psalm 23 and from life about walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Followers of Christ know that if Jesus does not come first for us, physical death will come for us. One of two ways. Happy thought this Father's Day, right? One of two ways. I mean, either physical death or Jesus will come back. Now, the rapture could happen in any moment. We're not going to get into a discussion about premillennial versus whatever. Okay, that's another time. But the rapture could happen. I mean, Jesus could come back in any moment. Again, look at the world around us. What's going on, especially with the nation of Israel. I mean, there's so much happening in our world. But this isn't like a defeatist, you know, I don't know, horrible, depressing outlook on life, but it's the reality. It is either Jesus will come back, there is a generation that will not face physical death, Jesus will come back, or physical death will come. But I want to tell you what I'm thankful for this Father's Day. All right, I'm thankful that I know myself, my wife, my kids, my parents, Mandy's parents, my sister, her family, Mandy's brother, sister-in-law, their kids all know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. So I know that if Jesus, whether he comes back or we, any of us face physical death, I know that my shepherd will lead me through that deepest, darkest valley of life. That death is just a shadow for us. I'm thankful for the victory of Jesus over death because I have received Jesus as my Lord and Savior, as my Savior shepherd. Let's look back at verse 4, what it says as we wind down this morning, okay? Verse 4, through the valley. That means to go in one side and out the other. So picture, okay, I've never been a big fan of old Westerns, but I know this, like old Western movies, if you were a bandit, one of the tactics of the bandits on the run is that they would try to lead the sheriff and his posse into a boxed canyon because there's only one way in, one way out. It would be foolish to lead the shepherd or the sheriff into a valley because there's one way in and another way out. You want to trap the sheriff and his posse and then, you know, rain down terror on them, whatever. That's the idea. I'm thankful Psalm 23:4 doesn't say, even though the shepherd leads us into the boxed canyon of death. No, it's the valley of the shadow of death. He leads us through in one side and through the other. Think of it this way. Verse 4, shadow. I cannot walk through a wall, but I can walk through a shadow of a wall, right? A shadow might scare me, but the shadow cannot hurt me. I walk through the shadow of death. So the point here, physical death for the believer is a shadow. My physical body is very fragile, but in Jesus, my soul and my salvation are indestructible. Death is just a shadow for the believer. So for me, my family, I know. Death is a shadow. My shepherd will lead me through. What about you? Can you say that this morning? But yeah, this is talking about the deep, dark valleys of life, but make no mistake, it's also talking about physical death. That's the deepest, darkest valley you will face unless Jesus is your shepherd. You know, I was a children's pastor. I started out in ministry. I've shared that with you. Every year we'd go to Camp Chula Vista for camp. And, you know, I think back and I wonder now as a parent, why in the world those parents let me do some of the things I did with their kids. But every year we go to Camp Chula Vista. And the last night of camp, we would take our sixth graders on a walk. Now, in this camp, it was a great camp, Camp Chula Vista. On one hill, you had boys' cabins. On another hill, you had girls' cabins. So the boys and girls were separated. That was great. All right. But then in the middle was everything. You would have a pool. You'd have the pavilion where we'd have worship, the mess hall where we would eat, horseshoes, volleyball. Softball field was off to the side near the same area. And so during the day, you know, because it was laid out the way that it was, you know, we would take the kids to those places. And in groups, we would let the kids go off by themselves as long as we knew they were responsible enough to get to where they were going. Every now and then, a kid would wander off and go where they weren't supposed to, and they'd get in trouble. But that last night of camp, we would take these sixth graders who were about to move up into the student ministry on a night hike. And this was kind of a tradition. They knew what was coming, but it was fun anyway. We would take them to the softball field at camp, right? Same camp during the day. You could see during the day, kids had a tendency to wander off, but at night, those kids would stick by us like we were glue. I mean, stick to us because it was dark, couldn't see really well, and they knew I was going to scare them. I would have youth counselors hiding in the bushes around the softball field, and we would give them glow sticks, and they would break those glow sticks and just start tossing them. So the kids that I was leading couldn't see the youth. All they could see was like streams of light shooting, you know, across the field. They knew it was coming, but it's kind of a tradition. But those kids, I didn't have to worry about those kids wandering off in that darkness, all right? But here's the other thing. Getting scared a little bit was worth it because they also knew that once we scared them half to death, we were going to take them down to the pavilion and have a party. It was their last night. They were about to move up into the youth, and we would have a huge celebration with pizza and Coke and all kinds of candy and all that sort of stuff. That's just what we did every year. So think about that, all right? For us, those of us, you know, during the daytime, green lush pastures, quiet waters, we can see everything. Everything looks good. We have a tendency to wonder a little bit. But in those deep, dark valleys of life, that's when we stick closest to our shepherd, because we don't know where we're going. And it can be scary. You know, those kids, they stuck with me because they knew I might scare them. And yeah, God doesn't cause evil and pain and suffering. They might get scared a little bit, but they knew I wasn't going to hurt them. Now, I thought about it a few times, but I wasn't going to hurt them. They knew they were safe, ultimately. In those deep, dark valleys of life, we can know that our shepherd is going to guard us and protect us and guide us. It can get scary, but nothing can hurt us from an eternal perspective. And you talk about a party, a celebration on the other side of that valley. Nothing compares to the celebration that's going to take place in heaven when all of God's people are called home. You talk about a celebration. Glory, worship, honor, joy, Jesus, no pain, no deep, dark valleys of life for all of eternity in the presence of our Savior, celebration with all of God's saints and the angels in glory. There is no celebration that compares to that. So wherever you are in life right now, whatever you're walking through, do you know Jesus as your shepherd? I know who my shepherd is. How about you? Let's pray together.